PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of the program. It's very nice to have you with me for the next little while. Well, we have another change in our program this week because of something that happened, which I'll tell you about that, and then I'll tell you about how we are going to schedule what we actually had to plan to start scheduling this week a little later on in the program. But first, let's begin with Sarah Vaughan. And a big hit of hers that made it on two different charts, Broken Hearted Melody. Sarah Vaughan with one of her big hits from many years ago, Broken Hearted Melody. Last week I promised on the program that we would bring you part one of our four-part special that we used last year at this time of year, summertime that is, and that is a drama series called The Tales of Dutch Formosa. Well, we have to postpone part one and the beginning of the series until next week. That is because on Tuesday we discovered that somebody who was a guest on our show back in 2010, Dick Van Patten, passed away at age 86. Now, who is Dick Van Patten? Well, he was an actor's actor, you can say. He started acting at a very young age and continued to be busy right up until the very end. He also founded a very well-known pet food company called Natural Balance. He appeared in hundreds upon hundreds of television shows, dating back to the 1950s all the way to today. But there was one series in particular that he is most remembered for. Now let's see how many of you remember the Sig tune from the TV show.
There's a magic in the early morning we found. When the sunrise smiles on everything. dread of the happiness that we feel and always will. Oh, it is enough to fill our lives with love. Oh, we spend our days like bright and shiny new dimes. If we're ever puzzled by the changing time, there's a plate of homemade wishes on the kitchen windowsill, and it is enough to fill our lives with love.
Let's stay tuned to the popular 1970s and early 1980s comedy drama, Eight is Enough. Dick Van Patten had the lead role in the television series that aired around the world. Even here in Taiwan, the series was rebroadcast for a number of years, and even recently they started rerunning it on one of the oldies channel, and it's a series that many people fondly remember. Dick Van Patten passed away at age 86 this week, like I mentioned. In 2010, I was thinking of a number of guests to invite on the show, and Dick Van Patten came to mind. And it's only because I had just recently caught him in a movie that I'd seen a number of times called Spaceballs that was directed by Mel Brooks. He appeared in a number of Mel Brooks movies. So today we're going to replay that interview that I did with him in 2010. My first question to Dick Van Patten was, how did he get the role in the late 1940s TV series, 1949 to be precise, Mama?
I auditioned for it. You know, I was working a lot then, and I got an audition, and I auditioned for it, and I got the part.
When you were starting off, because it's interesting because your brother and sister are also in entertainment. Your sons are also in your family is like an entertainment family. Was this something that you had wanted to do, or were your parents trying to push you into a different direction?
No, my mother was a real stage mother, and she even pushed me into acting, you know. It was all because of my mother. And then I had a good time and I enjoyed it, so I wanted my kids to do the same thing. And they did. My son Vincent was a child actor, and so was Jimmy.
When you started off and you were in radio, what were those days like for you?
I used to go up to NBC after school. Then I would sit on the third floor, and they would call me for different shows. I did almost every radio show there was. And sometimes I did two in one day. I did David Harum at 10:45 in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I did Young Widow Brown. I used to do two shows a day. It was really, I never stopped working.
That sounds incredibly hectic. It's sort of like, oh, we got to get Dick now. He's in the hallway. It's time for his part.
But the big actors that always played my mother and father, Agnes Moorehead almost always played my mother, and Richard Widmark used to play my father. They were all radio actors, you know.
You know, you've been in entertainment for so many years, and there have been so many changes that have taken place. I mean, it always was big business. But there seems to be a certain, would you agree if I was to say there's a certain coldness that exists in the industry now that maybe didn't exist at that time?
Yeah, it used to be more like a big happy family. And now there is, I think the competition causes the coldness. You know, everybody's in competition with each other. It's not quite the same.
Well, you know, it's funny because recently I was talking with somebody and they said, you know, back then, if a television series, say, didn't do well in the first season, they'd be like, well, let's try a different time slot and give it a go. And in many cases, it happened that these shows then became TV classics. But today, if you're not a success in the first episode, you're history. You know, what is your approach? I mean, when you are playing characters and roles, when you started off, did you have a choice in the roles, or were you saying, well, you know, I'm starting off, so I'm just going to take anything that comes along, and nowadays,
no? My mother used to say to me, don't ever turn down a job, and I never did. I took whatever they offered.
But there must
I never studied acting, but I worked with so many great directors, I think I learned a lot from them, you know.
So you say so you would say then the craft that you learned was from being around these amazing actors like for example like Agnes Moorehead, who was a phenomenal stage actress.
Well, she was really a radio actress more than anything, and then she became a movie actress.
You did the first television series, which ran for many, many years.
9 years, from 1949 to 1958. It was live every Friday night at 8 o'clock. And it was, I grew up on that show. Hmm. I really did.
What was it like working in live television?
It was very strange. I had only done radio, and all of a sudden, we did a pilot for this radio show called I Remember Mama, and they bought it. But they said, why don't we put it on TV? It's a new thing that's coming out. So they switched it over to television. I didn't know anything about television. I didn't even think it could happen. It seemed like a miracle that it could happen. And then the show started, and it was the first TV series on the air. I mean, 9 years we were on.
Hmm. When doing live television, there must be a certain energy that you get from doing, especially if it's weekly, a certain adrenaline that you get from doing a performance in that kind of environment.
Yeah, it was. You used to get nervous before the show because you knew that it was live, and if you made a mistake, which happens lots of times, you know, it was embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to be a little bit nervous before the show.
Do you still get nervous today?
Not as much, no. No, not as much.
It's almost, in some ways, people would say that you're playing yourself in every character that you portray. Would you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that.
No?
On Love Boat, I played a wife beater. I beat Rue McClanahan up, and I played villains, too. Although, I am usually cast as a nice guy, so the average nice guy. But I have played the other kind of parts, too. Mm-hmm. I can do them.
Do you like playing villains?
Yes. It's a little more of a stretch. Yeah.
When did things really start to gel for you? I mean, after you left that first TV series that was on for 9 years...
Yeah.
Did you then start getting regular gigs for TV shows, or was there a period in between where producers and directors, you know, kind of typecast you because you had been in a TV series for so long?
Definitely. When I Remember Mama went off the air, I went for a couple of years without getting any work because I was considered the kid on I Remember Mama. And it took me a couple of years to get rolling again. In fact, it wouldn't have happened except I got into a show on Broadway for Elaine May. And I was in it for about a year. It was called Adaptations Next. And then she said, I'm going to send the show out to Hollywood for 8 weeks, but then I want you to come back to New York and continue the New York run. Mm-hmm. So I came out to Hollywood, and I did the show. I got very good reviews, and then I got all kinds of offers for TV, and I never returned to New York. I sold my house back there, and I stay here, and I just went from one job to another. But there was a period of about a year and a half when I couldn't get work right after I Remember Mama. But Elaine May got me rolling again.
But getting typecast is something that happens quite often. I mean, especially with a TV series that is on for such a long time. I mean, if I can think most recently, something like Frasier with Kelsey Grammer. I mean, Kelsey Grammer, even though he has done other things since Frasier, people still watch him and go, oh, that's just Frasier Crane.
Yeah, it does happen.
What would be your advice to someone who let's say, a young and upcoming actor who maybe was in a television series as a child star and wants to get out of that kind of situation? What would you just say, just give it time and maybe take a little break and try to do something that is different to get the attention again?
Well, time does help, but you still have to have a lot of luck. And I think my advice would be to keep trying. And if it's supposed to be, it will happen. That's the way but it is tough after you do a series for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to keep plugging away and just hope that the time will heal it, you know? As it did in my case, I got lucky. But there is so much luck involved, I think, anyway.
When you started doing Eight Is Enough, was that also just by luck?
No, I had it. Here's what happened. I auditioned for a pilot of Love Boat, and the same year I auditioned for a pilot of Eight Is Enough. And then I got them both. I got both parts, and I did the pilots. And then only, you know, one pilot in 10 sells. They both sold. Eight Is Enough sold, and Love Boat sold. So I didn't know. I had my choice of playing the doctor on the Love Boat or playing the father on Eight Is Enough. So I didn't know what to do. So I figured, well, I took Eight Is Enough. I think it had more prestige, the part of the father,
mm-hmm.
you know, than playing the doctor on Love Boat. Well, the Love Boat ran 10 years, and we only ran 5 years. So I probably would have made more money on Love Boat.
What was it like working on Love Boat?
It was fun. It was a nice cast. Mm-hmm. I liked them all. And when I did the pilot, we went on an actual cruise for 2 weeks. We shot the whole pilot on a cruise. So it was fun, you know, to do. In fact, when I was trying to make my decision about which part to take, I was thinking, gee, I like those cruises. They're fun. But I still took Eight Is Enough.
Well,
I guess I made the right move.
Well, you could always say that, you know, that even if you didn't even, let's say, get the offer for the part for the doctor on Love Boat, you can say, well, I got a 2-week cruise out of it.
That's right.
So when you started doing Eight Is Enough, how much of the cast that was in the series was in the pilot, or was everything all sort of already settled?
We did the pilot. The boy, Grant Goody, was not in the pilot. He played the oldest son. And the boy that did it, right after he did the pilot, he got the lead in that big movie, I can't think of it now. Debbie Reynolds' daughter was in a space thing or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he dropped out of Eight Is Enough, and Grant Goody played it. But originally it was another guy who was a star for a while.
When you did the series, was the series initially a hit in the first season, or did it take some momentum to get going?
To tell you the truth, I didn't think it was going to be a big hit, because I thought it was just like Father Knows Best, you know, like that. I figured they did a lot of shows like that. So I was sort of surprised it was such a big hit. I had no idea. And then the original girl that played my wife was Diana Hyland, and she died after the fourth show. So I figured, boy, that's going to be the end of the whole show. But it wasn't. They wrote it into the script, and they had Diana Hyland die in the script, and then they got to be the new wife, Betty Buckley. So it worked out. I guess it was just supposed to be. Did you know that the original wife was Diana Hyland?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, and she was engaged to John Travolta.
Hmm.
They were going to get married, and then she died.
Hmm.
And she was a young girl. She was 38 years old.
What's amazing about the series is that, especially for the time, it was probably, and probably still is, one of the few one-hour comedy dramas that they incorporated a laugh track into.
That's right, they did. It's very subtle, but it was there.
It seems very odd now, because the DVD version that I picked up, you have the choice of either keeping the laugh track in or turning it off.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Which makes me wonder, what was the idea of putting the laugh track in, or was that just the idea, let's try something new and different?
No, I guess they just felt it would work, and they were right.
Mm-hmm.
The laugh track did work.
What was it like for the run of that show? I mean, it was on for 5 years, and it was shown all around the world. The first version that I saw of it actually was not in English; it was in French. And in French, the show is called "Huit C'est Suffit," which means basically "Eight Is Enough."
Oh, and how do you say that again?
Huit C'est Suffit.
Oh my gosh! Now, when they showed the show in Italy, it was called "Ocho la Famiglia." Ocho la Famiglia was called Eight in the Family.
Mm-hmm. And when you did that the show, and you were working with especially the younger actors, how was that? I mean, did it take time to to get into a certain work pattern, or did the cast just really all gel together?
Well, let me tell you, I loved it because I was a child actor, and I grew up in a TV series, I Remember Mama. Now I was in a show called Eight Is Enough, and I was working with eight child actors, so I felt like I had a bond with them. You know, I knew what they were going through. I went through the same thing, and I think it helped the show. You know, I loved working with kid actors because I was one myself.
You know, something that is quite amazing with not just Eight Is Enough, but other programs that you even made guest appearances in, like I Dream of Jeannie. When you watch them today, because many of these shows are still running in syndication around the world.
Yeah.
There seems to be a certain joy and happiness amongst the cast that really comes across on screen. Something that you really don't... The feeling today is very different. The feeling today, I find, is very different.
Well, I know that we were all very happy on Eight Is Enough. We all liked each other very much. And I think that's a lot part of what made the show a hit. We really did. But I know what you mean. Some of the shows today don't have that kind of a feeling.
Yeah, it's hard to describe, but you really sense that, you know, everybody enjoyed working together, and even from the, you know, from behind the camera, the crew, you can tell by the way they've put, because it's a craft, you know, it's an art form, it's a craft, and it really comes across when watching it. But there must have been projects that you've worked on in the past where you said to yourself, "Ay, ay, ay! I can't believe I did this. I wish I could leave."
My mother always said, "Don't turn down a job." So I'm always happy to be working. I don't think I ever remember I wish I could get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I always figured it's good to have a job, you know.
During that period when I was doing some research, I came across some TV appearances that you did in these TV shows that were quite common in the 70s and early 80s, where they would get a lot of guest stars coming together to do like circus acts or running and all kinds of sports things. What was it like doing those kind of shows? Because the one that I saw you in, you were supposed to be involved in a sprint or running around the track with some other celebrities.
That was called Battle of the Network Stars.
Yes.
At ABC, NBC, and CBS, the different actors from each one of those networks, we would have networks called Network of the Stars. And it was like a tournament. It was a contest. There was another one called the Beverly Hills Families. And my family won the whole thing. We won $100,000. But there was a lot of sports in it and running. And you're right. But they don't do those shows anymore. That's out of the question, I guess.
And that was part one of my conversation with Dick Van Patten. We'll have part two in a moment. One TV show that Dick Van Patten made a number of guest appearances on was The Love Boat. In fact, in the pilot of that TV series, he actually played the Doctor. After the show became a regular series, he was asked to play the Doctor in the series, but declined because of another job that he had lined up. It wasn't that long after that he starred in Eight Is Enough. So we're now going to listen to the sig tune to The Love Boat, performed by the great Jack Jones.
Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. And love, life's sweetest reward. Let it flow. It floats back to you. The love boat.
it's an open smile on a friendly shore.
Theme song to the long-running Love Boat television series that ran on ABC in the United States for many years and was also syndicated around the world. Dick Van Patten was the doctor in the original pilot and then made a number of guest appearances on the series. There were a number of actors, many actors who all had guest appearances on the series. There was a regular cast of players, and then every week they brought in all kinds of guest stars to have all kinds of roles. You name it, they almost appeared on these a number of times. You are listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Today we're revisiting an interview that I did with Dick Van Patten in 2010, who passed away this past week at age 86.
I think they'll get a kick out of it, especially people that remember the show, and I've had a terrific career. Been very lucky. I go, you know, all those Broadway shows, 27 shows in a row I did, and I think it makes for good reading. I really do. I think it's been an interesting life.
Mm-hmm.
I thank my mother for getting me into it, because if it hadn't been for my mother, I never would have gotten into acting, I don't think.
Would that be the same for Joyce and your brother Tim?
Yes, Joyce is a wonderful actress, and Timmy's doing real well as a director. My sister just got through doing a movie up in Boston with Adam Sandler. She was working up there for 12 weeks. It's a movie that's coming out pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And Timmy's working all the time.
You know, it's amazing because some of the stories in the book have made me giggle. I mean, because you were working at a time when Hollywood was very different than it is today.
Yeah.
When you look back now, I mean, and you think about these stories that happened, do you ever say to yourself, I can't believe this all happened to me?
Well, first of all, when I meet seven-year-old children, I can't believe that I was on the stage on Broadway at that age. I can't believe I did what I did when I see seven-year-old kids. When I was 7 years old, I opened up on Broadway. I was in all those shows. I don't know. It's amazing that I did it.
You know, but you were a child actor. One of the things that I'm curious about, because we hear so many cases of child actors and actresses who were, let's say, in a hit series when they were younger, and as they got into, you know, in their maybe their late teens or early 20s, started to get into a lot of trouble. How did this not happen to you? Or because you're you know, your mother, you know, said to you, right. Dick, don't do this.
The reason it didn't happen to me is I had great parents. Mm-hmm. My mother used to say, you're only as popular as the show that you're on. And, you know, just treat it as a job. And they were terrific parents. So it never went to my head as a kid. I never got into trouble acting or anything. Being a child actor, I think it's the ones that got into trouble. I think their parents weren't alerting the kids to what was going to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And my mother used to say that to me all the time. It could all end tomorrow. Don't let it go to your head. You know, don't turn down any jobs, but don't. That was all good. I think that's why I came out okay.
But when you see that happen to some child actors and actresses, I mean, even Adam Rich, who was on Eight Is Enough, has had trouble with the law. Did you ever sit down with him and say, listen, Adam, we need to have a talk?
Well, I did at times, but I'm not sure it worked. You know, he's okay now. He's clean now. But no, it didn't help. I used to sit down with him and say, you got to stop this, Adam, and get you straight. It didn't help. But now he's okay. But while the show was on, he was doing bad things, I think.
Mm-hmm. How much do you keep in touch with the cast after the series went off air?
Well, I keep in touch with them pretty much. In fact, I spoke to Adam last week, and Diane Kaye I speak to all the time. And I'm the godfather of Susan Richardson's little girl. So we remain pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
I like them very much. We all like each other a lot. But I was disappointed with Adam while the show was going on when he was getting in trouble. But I think that one of the reasons Eight Is Enough was such a hit was because of Adam Rich. He was so good on the show. He was so cute. People used to watch the show, I think, just because of Adam Rich. I really mean that. He was so good. He was very good. And he's okay now. He's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He was over here last week, and he's okay. He's doing good.
When the series ended, you did two TV specials, two reunion specials. Has there been any talk, maybe in the last couple of years, of doing another reunion?
No talk at all. But there's been no talk of doing reunions, no. I think it would do good, though. I really do. We're all here, you know.
What do you, if somebody says to you, you know, you're going to go down in TV history, because even today, the show is still being syndicated on television in many countries on specialty networks. You must be in a certain pride to think, you know, I did that series, it ended, you know, many years ago, but it's still being enjoyed today.
Well, I'm glad. I'm very glad to be a part of it. I'm very proud of it. It was a very well-written show. It really was. Bill Blinn wrote it,
mm-hmm.
and he did a good job.
Now, that, of course, was one of, The Love Boat, which was Aaron Spelling's production. What was it like working with Aaron Spelling?
Oh, he was nice. You see, before he became a producer, he was an actor. He was when he was a young guy. In fact, I auditioned for him. Not for him. He and I auditioned for the same part in 1946. I was about 17. And I think he was a little bit older. And we auditioned for the part, and I got the part, but also Marlon Brando auditioned for it, and so did Roddy McDowall, and I got the part with Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne. I played their son. But Aaron Spelling auditioned for that part, too.
Hmm.
But he was always good to me. You know, I didn't do The Love Boat, but I did do one a year. It was on for 10 years, and I did a guest shot on it every year. So I did 10 of them.
Do you think that because he had worked as an actor, this also helped make the shows that he produced such a success? Because he was an actor himself, so he knew what actors were like.
Well, he was awfully good to actors. He gave them so many jobs. I think him being an actor himself, he had a lot of sympathy for actors. He always wanted to help them.
Mm-hmm.
He sure helped me. I did 10 of them.
You know, one of the memorable roles that people also remember you with is a movie that you did with Mel Brooks, Spaceballs.
Oh yes, I did a few movies with Mel.
What was that like working with Mel? I interviewed a while ago Steve Lawrence, who was in a TV show in the 50s with Edie, that Mel was one of the writers, and he said Mel was mad in some ways.
well, he directed. I did 4 movies for Mel Brooks. I did Robin Hood, Men in Tights, the one that you just mentioned. Anyway, I did 4 movies. I can't think of them all. But he is a riot to work with as a director. He keeps you laughing on the set the whole time. He's a very funny man and very smart. He's got the most alert mind, very quick thinking. And he is so funny. You're laughing the whole time you're doing this picture. Really.
would it ever happen that in the middle of a scene, he would be off camera doing something that would crack you guys up?
I wouldn't say that so much, but during the direction, he would be telling you so many funny things. Yeah, you just kept laughing all the time. He's very smart and very funny, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he came from a poor section in Brooklyn, Williamsburg, and became a writer on the Sid Caesar show. I mean, he really made it just on his mind, boy. I have a lot of respect for him.
You know, one of your other jobs, you can say, is you were the co-founder of Natural Balance Pet Foods.
Oh, yeah, that's doing real good.
How did that come about?
Well, I'll tell you. You remember when John Davidson had a talk show?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, I was the guy who was on it one day, and when they broke for lunch, I sat next to this guy that was a drummer on his show. And while we were talking, he was telling me that he rescued animals and dogs and cats. I said, oh, I do that too. And he said, well, I have a great idea for a dog food, a holistic dog food. There was nothing like that at that time. This was 1989. And so I said, gee, that's a good idea. I'm playing tennis tomorrow morning with this lady veterinarian. I'll mention it to her. So the next morning, I played tennis with this lady veterinarian. And I said, I worked with a guy yesterday, and he thinks he's making a holistic dog food. And her eyes lit up. She said, that's a wonderful idea. She said, I could make up a great formula with no byproducts, nothing like that. So we got together, and she made up the formula. And then Petco picked it up. They said they would try it out for 5 weeks. If it did well, they would keep it, and it did well. It went right through the roof, and it's doing terrific now. It's like one of the most popular animal pet foods there is.
Because at the time, you were one of the, I think, or if not even the first company to produce such type of pet food.
Absolutely the first, mm-hmm. Yes. If you ever read the ingredients, there's no byproducts, there's no corn, no soy, none of that stuff that a lot of pet foods put in their food. We don't have any of that.
In December, I was planning in my head, you know, who I want to have on the show for this year. And, yes. You know, the ideas can come anywhere. And I was walking, because I have 3 dogs myself, 3 very large dogs.
Oh, what kind of dogs?
I have a Labrador, Golden Retriever, and he's not small. He's 22 kilograms, and I found him when he was about 2 months in the street. He was filthy.
Oh,
he was
really?
Dirty. Yeah, he was filthy and dirty, and I said, well, I think I'm going to keep him.
Oh, thank God you found him.
And he's the naughtiest one of the 3, but he's also the fussiest one. And I was... he won't eat anything. And I went to one of the local pet shops not far from where I live, And I was explaining to them, I said, look, the problem with him is he's very fussy. He won't eat this, he won't eat that, he eats what he likes. And they gave me some samples, some of the package samples of Natural Balance. And surprising, to my surprise, he ate it.
Oh, good, that's great. That's funny. But anyway, it's doing very, very well. And it's, I'm very lucky. Again, I'm very lucky.
How much in the daily operation of the company are you involved, or
I was there this morning over at the factory, and I go to the factory about three times a week, mm-hmm. Just to see how everything's going and all. And it's going great. And everybody that works over there, they all like each other, and it's a big hit. another hit story.
I mean, it's so interesting because you really bring a certain joy around people. I mean, even if I watch you in something, and even talking to you now, you're a rarity, I think, in Hollywood. You don't see too many people like you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I'm married 56 years, so I guess that is rare.
56 years?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, what would your advice be to actors today in Hollywood who get, I find it so amazing. You have an actor and he gets married and they get married together or whatever. And there's so much publicity around it. It's almost like a TV series in itself.
Yeah.
And then they're together for 2 years, and then the divorce and separation, there's more publicity around it. And it's like another television series.
It's so sad, yeah.
I mean, what would your advice be? I mean, what I find quite amazing now is how much, I would say, pressure actors in Hollywood are under these days, because they're always under the microscope for everything they do.
But, I think there's a lot of luck involved in marriage. We just get along so well, and I got three great sons. It's been really fun.
Mm-hmm. And of course, they're also in entertainment as well.
Yes. Jimmy, my son Jimmy, he's the middle one. He's leaving tomorrow to go to Canada to do that movie Saw.
Mm-hmm.
They're not very good. They're terrible movies. But he's in it. He's got a good part in it.
Did you give them the same advice that your mother gave you? Don't turn any job down?
Exactly. Exactly. That's all the same thing. I said, you're only as popular as the series that you're on. So don't let it go to your head. And they love it. They've been having fun.
Did you ever?
Vincent, my other son does that the World Poker Tour show. I don't know whether you know that.
You did that yourself. You hosted that for a few years, right?
I was the first host. That's right. And now he's taken over for me, and he's doing very well. He's the commentator on it.
Are you a poker player yourself?
Yes. Oh, yes. He's married to Eileen Davidson. She's the star of The Young and the Restless. That's the soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
She's been on that for 10 years.
When they were starting off, did they ever come to you and say, Dad, look, I need some help with a character or a role that I just have difficulty getting into?
No. I'll tell you what they do. They want me to help them learn the lines. I cue them. But they never asked me how to do the part, no. But they did always ask me to help them, to cue them.
Do you see yourself even retiring at any point, or do you still enjoy it so much that getting up and getting ready and going to an early morning call is still enjoyable?
Yes, I don't want to retire. I'd like to keep working till the very end.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. I really do. And I keep thinking of what my mother said: don't ever turn a job down. So I don't think I'll ever turn one down.
Do you now, at this point of your life, think, there must be some character or role that you would like to play at some point? Is there anything like that?
Well, yes, not a lot, but I would like to play a gangster, because I'm always playing these goody-goody parts. I think it would be fun to play a sort of I'd like to play a gangster.
like a Godfather type character?
Yeah, I'd love to do something like that. I know I don't look the type, but I'd like to try it.
Well, I think that if you said that, I could. For some reason, I don't think Mel Brooks has ever done a gangster movie. I have a feeling that if he did, he would probably cast you as the role as the Godfather.
I'm gonna see him Wednesday, mm-hmm. So I'm gonna tell him what you said. That's funny. What is today? Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday. Yes, it's Tuesday for you.
I'll see him tomorrow. I'm going to be have lunch. I'll have lunch with him tomorrow. I'm going to tell him what you said. That's funny.
So you're in touch.
Actually,
then.
It's a good idea. He could make. Wouldn't that be? He could do a whole farce comedy on gangsters and all that. That would be very funny.
He could pull it off. I mean, it's when I watch his films and. But he also is quite unique because he has a cast of regular players usually.
Yeah, I'm in that bunch.
What is it that must mean? That must be, of course, one of the reasons why those films are so successful.
Yeah, well, he has like Cloris Leachman, Harvey Korman, Dom DeLuise, and me. And Dom and Harvey are gone now. They died. They died last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they were the ones that he always had. And he has a guy called Rudy DeLuca, too. He always plays small parts in the pictures.
Did you ever at any point think about even returning to the stage?
No. I would, you know, if I got a job that they called me to go to New York and do a show, I would do it in a minute. Really. I would like to do a stage again.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done one. Well, the last one I did was Cinderella with Renee Taylor and Joe Bologna. That was 2 years ago. That was on Broadway. And then before that, the year before that, I did Thieves with Marlo Thomas and Richard Mulligan. And so there's the last two plays I did. Hmm. They were both big hits, too.
Dick Van Patten, thank you very much for... taking some time to talk to us on the Happy Station. It's been a great pleasure.
You're such a fascinating guy.
And like I said, the first time that I saw you in anything, you were speaking French because we would get the shows. And I think today, after we finish, I'm going to ask my mom to send some Cousin Tony's Texas chili.
I enjoy talking to you. I appreciate how nice you are.
Well, I think that's what us Sagittarians have in common.
Right. So now don't forget, Red Fox, Donny Osmond, and Kirk Douglas all have our birthday.
That's right. We do have all the same birthday. That was my interview that I did with Dick Van Patten in 2010. Dick Van Patten passed away this week at age 86. By the way, we hope you enjoyed revisiting that interview from about 5 years ago. It was certainly a lot of fun speaking to him. After we recorded the interview, it was one question I asked, which we didn't get on record. And I said, how do you remember everything you've done? And he says to me, well, actually, I don't. He said, in some years, he says, he could be appearing, he said, in about 100 different things. And he said, when you reach 70, he said, I don't remember what I did in 1938 and all that. But he says, if you refresh my memory, he said, it'll all come back. Anyway, that's all we have time for on this week's edition of the program. Now, we were supposed to schedule part one of our four-part documentary drama series, Tales of Dutch Formosa. We're not going to be doing that this week because of this program that we had, but we will bring you part one next week. All right, so beginning next week. That's if nothing else happens, but you never know. Okay, so we do have it scheduled for next week, so do tune in to that. If you'd like to contact us to let us know what you think of the program or have any suggestions or comments, or to receive the Happy Station Show EQSL, our email address is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. Once again, pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. And we'll do our best to get it off to you as soon as possible. Before we play our final song for today, you may remember last year that we did a joint program with Radio Taiwan International. Well, we have another joint program with RTI coming up, and I'll give you the details on that when we work all that out. And we're going to try to make it different from the one that we did last year. And let's see what we can actually do with that one. It should be a lot of fun. Anyway, that's all that we have time for on this week's edition of the program. We're going to end today with Keeley Smith and the song South of the Border featuring the Frankie Cap Orchestra. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and Sayonara.
South of the border, down Mexico way, that's where he fell in love when stars above came out to play. And now as he wonders, his thoughts ever stray south of the border, down Mexico way. She was a picture in old Spanish lace. Just for a tender while, he kissed the smile upon her face. For it was fiesta, and they were so gay. South of the border, down Mexico way. Then she sighed as she whispered mañana, never dreaming that they were forgotten. And he lied as he whispered mañana, for their tomorrow I never, never came. South of the border, one day, there in a veil of white bark and moonlight, she knelt to pray. The mission bells told him that he mustn't stay. South of the border, down Mexico.
Others.